Well, good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you. And if you're joining us online, it's really great to see you too. Thank you for your confidence in us, that you would spend your time in spending time here at Oasis Christian Centre. If we can ever help you, you just need to make contact with us and we will happily pray with you or help you in whatever way we're able to. For those of you that have been praying for my wife, Judith, thank you for that. It's not been the easiest week. Chemo started this week, and to say that she's been wiped out is a bit of an understatement. And she's still not able to sit or lie very easily. And so, particularly in the heat, it's been pretty difficult. She looks forward on a Sunday morning to joining a number of churches, one of these, online. Yesterday afternoon in our little village, we had two power outages. That has taken all sorts of stuff. In the middle of the night, the alarms were going off and all of that. Could Tim sort out the internet on the telly to be able to enable her to watch this morning? No. So she's going to sit and eat Maltesers all morning, I suppose, or whatever it is that she's going to do. Anyway, we thank you for your prayers. Please do keep praying. For her to be comfortable in sitting and lying, being able to sleep, and also that she would be strengthened through this chemo period. Can I tell you this morning, everybody has got something going on in their lives. Everybody. And if you haven't, if you're sat there this morning thinking, well, I haven't got anything, it's on its way. Okay, I'm not the prophet of doom and gloom, but I'm telling you that's the case. And we need to be kind to one another. We need to minister Jesus to one another. Let's just pray, shall we? Father God, would you speak to us through your word this morning? Would you let it live in our hearts? We want to be men and women, boys and girls that know you and love you and are living in a way that honours you in everything that we do. We want you to be honoured and glorified, not just in this place, but as we go to our factories, to our offices, to our schools, to our colleges, as we talk to our neighbours over the garden fence. We want to be able to be people that reflect you in everything that we say and do. Lord Jesus, would you help this word resonate with us so that we are better equipped to do those things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you were to meet somebody socially for the first time, you'd not met them before, I'm pretty certain that you would soon be asking a question. And the question is, who are you? I want to ask you that question this morning. Who are you? I'm not just asking about your name. I'm asking about what defines you and makes you you. But the truth is that when we ask that question, the most natural thing in the world is for us to respond with our name. I might say, "Hi, I'm Tim." Everybody knows me as Tim. Sometimes when I started preaching, I would go to little gospel halls and they would say, "Oh, Mr. Coles is with us today." And I'd look over my shoulder to see if my dad had just walked in the room, because nobody has ever really called me Mr. Coles. I'm always just Tim. Actually, on my birth certificate, it says Timothy. I only get called Timothy when I'm really, 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 really naughty, which of course is never. You know what I'm saying, don't you? I'm Tim. Everybody knows me as Tim. It's my name. But is it what defines me? You see, the name Tim, Timothy, means honouring God. My parents, well, my father was called William John. His father was called William John. My mother's father was called William John. And you know where this is going, don't you? My father thought it would be a great idea if I was called William John. My mother was having nothing of it, okay? My father suggested Jeremy, apparently. Jeremy, my mother was having nothing of it. Here we are, I'm Tim. You might know your name, but can I ask you this morning, do you know who you are? Do you know what defines you? Do you know what makes you you? If you were to hear me say, well, your name doesn't define you, you might start to try and define yourself with all sorts of different things. There are all sorts of measures that we sometimes try and define ourselves by. We might talk about our occupation, for example. We might say, I'm a nurse, or I'm a teacher, or I work in a factory, or whatever. Whatever it is, you would tell me about your occupation. But I want to tell you this morning, there are hundreds of people in work who are not doing the job because they love it. They're doing it because it pays the bills. It does not define them. And of course, there are thousands of people who are not in work. Does that make them somehow lesser people? Of course not. Your job does not necessarily define you. We might talk about other things that might define us. We might talk about our marital status. We might talk about our academic experience and attainment. We might talk about our bank balance. Some people do that, don't they? You know, when Matthew got married, our son got married, a guy turned up in a Marcos supercar. It had gullwing doors. Everybody wanted their picture taken by the Marcos, because it was a little bit special, a little bit. And he wanted everybody to know that he'd made it in his chosen profession, and he could afford to splash out £100,000, whatever it was, I have no idea, a lot of money on a supercar. It was what defined him. People do that, don't they? Do you do that? Do you try and make yourself look good because you're able to drive a certain car or go out for meals to a particular place? What is it that defines you? You might say, well, I live in a really nice place in town. Is that really, really what defines you? I want to tell you confidently this morning that material possessions, academic status, any measure that you might care to pick, if I've not put it on the screen, anything that I might have missed, it's not the thing that really defined you. I want to take you to two scriptures particularly, and Emmanuel has already pinched one of them. I thought he was going to preach my message for me this morning, but you stopped short, so it's okay. I want to take you to two scriptures this morning that will help you to understand what really defined you. And I'm not making any apology for this. I'm asking you to challenge yourself. Am I measuring myself by what the scripture tells me, or am I trying to measure up by some kind of social constructed measure that causes me to say, I've made it, I'm special, I'm accepted, or I'm not? I want to suggest to you this morning that you, if you base your life on material possessions, you will come to find yourself disappointed, depressed, and even destroyed, because they do not last forever. I'm not bragging this morning. I really am not. I don't need to do that. But I remember on one occasion somebody saying to me, Tim, we want you to join our company, and you can name your price up to £100,000 a year. He said at the time, this will tell you how long ago it was, he said, you can have a Granada Scorpio. That'll tell you how long ago it was. Listen, I'm not 21 anymore, okay? I was tempted, I've got to tell you. I thought, oh, that money would be nice. It'd be nice to drive that car. It'd be nice to be able to take my family on nicer holidays than I currently take them on. It'd be nice for that. But the managing director was having an affair with a personnel director, and I didn't want anything of it. And I knew what was going on in that situation. Hardest phone call at that moment in my life to make was to say, thanks for your confidence in me, but I'm not going to take that job offer up. I don't want to be defined by those things. I don't need to be defined by those things. What are you defined by? I want you to challenge yourself as you hear the word of God. If you're looking for fulfillment or purpose or hope in anything other than God, you are going to find yourself disappointed. Can we put the next scripture up, please, Bernie, for me? Psalm 62, verse 5. Wow. For God alone, my soul, wait for him. Wait in silence, for my hope is from him. I want to tell you this morning, God can be trusted. Anybody want to raise their hands this morning and say, hallelujah, God can be trusted. Oh, I tell you, it's not been the easiest week. I had a conversation with Robin a few days ago, and I said, I've got to be honest, Robin, I don't know whether I'm going to be able to come and preach this morning. Pastor that he is said, Tim, if you can't, I will. Thank you, Lord. It's not been the easiest week, but I want to tell you that God can be trusted. And he will strengthen you. He will support you and resource you. Let me take you to the first of the scriptures that helps us to start to decide, to define how we can understand ourselves, define ourselves. It comes from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, very early on in the Bible. And this scripture relates to every single person that has ever been born. You don't have to be a Christian for this scripture to relate to you. You may not be a Christian. You may just be exploring, as Emmanuel was mentioning a few minutes ago. But this scripture relates to you this morning. Genesis chapter 1, 26, 27. God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. I want to tell you that all men and women are made in the image of God. Of course, not all men and women are living trying to honor God. Just as not all Tims are seeking to honor God. Not all men and women have an understanding even of who God is, let alone wanting to put their faith and their trust in him. But I promise you this morning that in every single man and woman alive that has ever been, there is a capacity to be God-like in what they say and do. Isn't that an amazing thing? They have the capacity for it. God the Creator says, let us make man in our own image. He's a tripartite God. Just pretend you're at Bible college for a minute. He's a tripartite God. He's a God in three persons. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And he makes us in his image, tripartite beings. Are you still with me? Okay, let's go with it. You see, we've all got bodies, haven't we? All of us have got bodies. That's the first part. We have a body, and they're pretty much all the same. Okay, they might be different sizes and shapes. They might have different features, but they're pretty much the same. We've all got an arm. If you've got an arm, wave it. Oh, come on, wakey, wakey. Let's stay with me. If you've got a leg, give it a little shake. If you've got a head, give it a nod. Oh, it's reminded me of Father Abraham had many sons. Okay, I'm ancient. We've all got a body, we've got features, we've got internal organs, we've all got them and they're pretty much the same. Okay? You may not be as good looking as me. You may not be as humble as me. But we've all got a body. That's the first part of our being. We're like God. We have a soul. The soul is made up in three parts as well. We've got our logic, the ability to be able to reason and to think. I'm going to need that when I get home because I don't understand the Sky TV system and how it connects with the internet. And I've got to sit down and try and figure out. If you're sat there and you're thinking, Tim, that's just easy peasy, lemon squeezy, falling off a log, come and talk to me before I go because I have not got a clue. Right? People are speaking in tongues when they talk about stuff like that. And I have to pray for interpretation. We've got some logic. We've got the ability to feel. We have emotions. Sometimes we want to laugh, don't we? You know, when Robin tells us a joke, okay, maybe that's not a good example. Okay. We have emotions. We want to laugh. We want to smile. Sometimes, thank you. Sometimes we want to cry. We have such a week that we want to cry. Sometimes we get angry. Sometimes we bang the desk. Sometimes we shout at other drivers as we're going along, get out of my way, what are you up to? Particularly if you're driving an ambulance. Get out of my way. We have emotions, and those emotions come out. It's the second part of our tripartite being. We have a spirit, the bit that connects us to our Creator, the ability to sense and serve spiritually, just as God created us to do. And isn't it amazing in this world and in this society in which we find ourselves right now, we've got loads and loads of people that are trying to look after their physical well-being. We've got people that are trying to look after their mental well-being. And the bit that's got lost is the ability to care for our spirit. We are tripartite beings as God is. And the only thing that brings us real purpose and meaning is to develop our spirits and to live in context and in relationship with the living God. And God wants you to know this morning that you are made in his image. And there's an incredible truth about that. Because you are created in the image of the most powerful force of the universe, you have dignity. I need to pause there for a minute. There may be people in this room and you don't think that you have any dignity. I want to tell you, as far as God is concerned, He looks at you and you have dignity. He loves you. He cares for you. It is not true that you are a failure. I remember going to my careers teacher. Well, I was told I was going to the careers teacher. And in those days, you were called by your surname. So it was Coles. What do you want to do when you grow up? I thought I was grown up, but anyway, okay. I'd like to be an accountant, sir. I was polite. An accountant, he scoffed at me. An accountant, he said. The only sort of accountant you'll be is a turf accountant. I had no idea what a turf accountant was. I went home to my dad and said, what's a turf accountant, Dad? And he laughed. He said, it's the bookie. I don't want to be a bookie. Strange, right at the end of my working life, what am I doing? Accounts. I've fallen into it along with just about many other things. People told me I would be a failure. Can I tell you, I left school with CSEs, grade 5 and 6. For those of a certain age, you know what I'm talking about. I could say I was a failure academically. It took me 3 attempts to get maths O-level. I went to night school for years to get a decent set of O-levels and 1 A-level. People told me I would be a failure. I'm not a failure. I'm not defined by what people think about me. I'm not defined by my academic attainment. I have a God who looks at me and says, I love you. What are you defined by? What are you defined by? It's not true that you're alone. It's not true that you're unloved. It's not true that you're destined for poverty and a daily grind. No, no, no. Listen to what God said to Jeremiah. You're going to say to me, somebody's going to say to me, Tim, I'm not Jeremiah. No, but can I tell you that just as Jeremiah was made in the image of God, you're made in the image of God. And if God spoke to Jeremiah these words, he would speak these words to you this morning. And he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Isn't that an amazing truth this morning? God knew me. I've got a sister, 4.5 years older than me. She lives in France. We all make mistakes. That was hers. And no, I shouldn't say that really, but she might come one day. You might meet her and you might tell her what I said. And then my parents had a baby in between us, and the baby had a hole in the heart and it died at 1 week old. In those days, they couldn't save the baby. This is 1958. They couldn't save the baby. And then ultimately Tim was born. I'll tell you a bit of my story in a few minutes. I had epilepsy as a child. I had twisted tendons in my feet. I wasn't any good at anything, basically. probably not much good at very much today either. But I'm not defined by those things. It's a wonderful truth when somebody looks down at you and says, I know you, I formed you. If you forget everything else that I say this morning, please go out of the room with these words ringing in your ears. God sees you. God knows you. God loves you. God has a purpose for you and your life. Never tell me your nose is wonky. I don't know why I was looking at you then, Kate. It was a pure accident. I apologise. I'll look at Robin. Is that all right? Never tell me your nose is wonky. Never tell me you're too fat, too thin, too tall, too whatever. Never tell me you haven't got this feature in your body or that feature, because God looks at you and he says, before I formed you, I knew you. He loves you. And everything he made, he looked at and he said, it is, and in terms of people, very good. Very good. Don't look in the mirror and say you're a failure. Look in the mirror and say, do you know what? I've been cared for. I've been crafted. I've been created. I've been formed. I'm known. I'm loved. Look in the mirror and tell yourself, I may not be what they show in the magazines as the greatest bodily whatever, but my God knows me and loves me. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I might get excited in a minute. But that's only the part of the story of who you are. And in that gap of that 4,050 years or so between Genesis and the scripture that I'm going to take you into in a moment, there's sin. There's the law. There is the Exodus. There's the entry into the promised land. There's sin. There's selfishness. There's sexual perversion. There's greed. There's hatred. There's war. There's genocide. There's a need for a savior. And in John's Gospel, chapter 1, John the apostle, John the disciple who becomes the apostle, John the fisherman at that point, John starts to unfold to us who God is, who Jesus is, and how that he is God. Now, pretend you're in Bible college for a minute, okay? Because you're going to impress some folk this morning, or at some point in the next week, you're going to impress some people, so pay attention. There are four great Christological passages in the Bible. You're scratching your head already and saying, what on earth is he talking about? Christological means passages that set out the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, and guess what? Revelation chapter 1. They're all chapter 1s. And all of them set out that Jesus was God, is God. And in John chapter 1, John gives us a masterful perspective of how that Jesus comes to the world and how that he is God. He comes to woo us and to win us. And yet that world largely rejected him and his divinity. And in the middle of that great description, John gives us a glimmer of hope. And that's the scripture that Emmanuel nearly pinched from me 10 minutes ago or so. An hour ago. I thought you were kind. In John chapter 1 verse 12. Even though Jesus the Christ had been rejected, yet to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. This is the thing. The second scripture that helps us to understand who we really are. This is not for every man and woman out there. This is for those who have chosen to believe. Can I ask you this morning, have you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you asked him to remove your sins from you? Have you asked him to forgive you? Have you trusted him for your eternal future? If you haven't, you're running a very risky game. Please. Come and talk to one of us before you leave. You need to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe it's just that I'm getting old, that's becoming ever more important to me. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 8, 14 to 17. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. You're adopted into his family. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. If we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, that we may also share in his glory. Here's the second thing that defines us. We're not only made in the image of God. That image of God that gives us a soul, the ability to choose, the ability to say yes to something, no to something else. You know, I decided to wear nice cream trousers this morning, a nice shirt. I looked at the blue trousers and I thought, no, I won't wear them. I'll wear this. We choose things. You choose to accept Christ or reject Christ. There's no middle ground. It's not, well, maybe I'll have a tiny bit. I'll just go to church and God will look kind. No. You accept Christ and live eternally, or you reject Christ and you die eternally. It's dark. It's like the aisle down the middle here. Those on one side go one way. Those on the other side go another way. Dear friend, hear me. The world, the circumstances, the events in our world are fastly moving to the point where Jesus Christ is coming again. And you have a choice to make. Will you accept him or reject him? Don't reject him. Don't reject him. If you've received him, if you've given your life to him, if you've called on him, then I guarantee that he's saved you. He's removed your sin from you as far as the east is from the west. He's translated you from the control of Satan and of darkness into his kingdom of light. He's adopted you into his family. He's made you a joint heir even with his beloved son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, come on. If there's not a hallelujah in the house this morning, there's something not right. Amen. Come on, the longer it takes you, the longer I'm going to preach. Thank you. There's always somebody in the house. I didn't come to church this morning to be prim and proper. I came to church to revel in the love that Jesus has got for me. He rescued me. He redeemed me. He released me to be his servant to a world that desperately needs to hear of him and to know him. I've told you, I had epilepsy when I was born. I stuttered terribly. Nobody wanted me on my team. I'm from the age where at break time at school, you'd line up against a wall, two captains would be chosen, and they'd take it in turns to choose who they wanted on their team. I was always the last to be chosen. Nobody wanted that lad who might possibly fit, who can't even string three words together in a sentence. Nobody wants him. The boy who tries to take a kick at a football and misses it completely. Nobody wants him on their team. Listen, let me tell you, that's me. I know what that's like. I'm not defined by those things. I'm not defined by my past. I'm not defined by my failure. I'm not defined by my slow academic progress. I'm not defined by those things because I've got a God who made me in his image and I've put my faith and trust in him and he's translated me into his kingdom. Hallelujah. That's who I am. Who are you? Who are you? What are you defined by? What are you chasing? I know what it is to get into business and to chase a BMW company car. And I got it. I got it. I know what it is to stay overnight in fancy hotels. I've been there. I know what it is to have an American Express card. I thought I'd made it. I really did. I thought, whoa, this is it. The company are trusting me with an American Express card. Whoa, what can I do? Where can I go? I really thought I'd got to the peak of where I was going. But I want to promise you, those things do not satisfy. They don't. You can lose them like that. I know what it is to be made redundant. 2 days before Christmas, with a baby 3 months away. I know what that is. I know what it is to have to walk away from a church on a point of principle and have my wife do 3 part-time jobs to keep us going. I know what that is. I know what failure feels like. I'm not defined by those things. I'm defined by something altogether much better. He's known me, and he loves me. So it's glamorous assistant time. So, Jeff, listen, times are hard. Come on, give him a round of applause.
Thank you.
In a minute.
Oh, in a minute.
Don't get above yourself. You can't get the stuff, you know. You really can't get the stuff. Right, Jeff, I want you to hold that mug, please. Can you hold it by the handle?
Yep.
Okay, now, listen. I need to tell you this. Robin said to me the other day, if anybody else drops something on my carpet, I'm going to go ballistic. So I'm going to ask you some questions. Uh-huh. And if you give me the wrong answer, I'm going to put some water in your mug.
Ooh.
And if you've got shaky hands like I've got shaky hands, yeah. If you spill any water, he's going to go mad. Right. Don't tell him I told you that.
I won't tell him. Right?
Don't let him in on the secret.
No.
So this is Jeff. And this is a mug. Sorry, I'm...
Where'd the biggest laugh go from?
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking about the China mug. You're not from China, are you? No, he's not from China. So this mug here is going to help us understand something about our definition. So, Jeff, let me ask you some questions. Have you got a degree?
No.
Wrong answer. Yeah, you've got to have a degree. Listen, don't do things behind my back. You cannot get the stuff. Do you look in the mirror, Jeff, and think you're the most beautiful person in the world?
Yeah. Only when no one's looking.
Wrong answer, Jeff. Have you got all the possessions that you've ever wanted? Have you travelled to all the places you've ever wanted to go to?
No.
Ooh. So, this mug, I'm not talking about Jeff. This mug, it's actually got a bit... You're shaking, Jeff.
Yeah, I know.
Don't let it drop on the carpet. This mug represents all the things that people have spoken over us. Harsh words. Untrue words. The feelings of guilt and shame. Embarrassment. They represented in this mug. Now, Jeff, I'm going to ask you to do something, and I don't want you to put the mug down, and I don't want you to drop a drop on the carpet, because Robin's going to go ballistic. Okay? I want you to sit down. No. I want you to sit down. Don't spill any. No pressure. And I'm going to ask you to do a really simple task. Okay? All I want you to do, without putting the mug down and without spilling a drop on the carpet, I want you to take your shoes off. It's really simple taking your shoes off, isn't it? No. Come on, Jeff.
Oh, yeah.
Don't spill any on the carpet. Did I say don't spill? Oh, Jeff. Jeff. How easy is it for us to do the most simple things in our lives when people have spoken things over us that say, you're no good. And we hear it, and we receive it, and we believe it, and it affects our ability to do even the most simple task. I want to tell you this morning, you need to get those things dusted off your shoulders. Those that wait on the Lord, was it Emmanuel again who used that scripture, pinch my scripture yet again? I should have had Emmanuel out the front here, shouldn't I, doing this? I should have had him. I'll get him. One of my messages, I'll have him out the front. Vengeance is mine, saith the pastor. I will repay. We need to get rid of those things that people have spoken over us And we need to say, I am not defined by those things. I'm defined by a God who knows me, who loves me, who crafted me, who cares for me, who has equipped me and released me to go and do his work. There is a purpose for you in your life that God has made for you. We used to sing it, there's a work for Jesus waiting at your hand. 'Tis a task the Master just for you has planned. Haste to do his bidding, yield him service true. There's a work for Jesus. None but you can do. Aren't you glad about that? God's got something for you to do. You are not a failure. Huh. Anybody glad they came to church this morning? You're not a failure. I am not a failure. I stuttered terribly. Now I preach for an hour for England. Because God did something in me. I left school with no qualifications. I could swim to the bottom and back, and that was my claim to fame. Can I tell you, I left school with nothing, but God did something in me and made something of me. I married the most beautiful woman in the world. We've been happily married. It'll be in just a fortnight's time. It'll be 41 years for us. I love her more today than the day that I married her. I even know more about her than I knew on the day I married her, and I still love her. She still drives me potty. She still can't get ready for a time. But I love her with all of my heart. It's on the telly. I love her. Must be true if it's on the telly. Can I tell you this morning, you can be, if you're defined, trying to be rich, trying to be famous, trying to gather things around you, you're looking in the wrong place. You need to come this morning. You need to kneel down here and let us pray with you. That God would release you to do the things that he wants you to be the person that he wants you to be. Can I ask you this morning, who are you? Who are you? You're not a mug. You're not a mug. Just making sure you're still awake. You're not a mug. You're a child of the Most High God. Would you bow your head? Eyes, would you shut your eyes, bow your heads just for a moment of prayer? Maybe you were something one day and things happened and you're not somebody anymore. Maybe because you retired. Maybe because you had to leave a job that you loved. Maybe there's a great hurt that you're carrying and it's like a mug of water and you can't seem to get rid of it, and everything that you do is made difficult because you're carrying. If you're carrying something this morning, I want you to leave your seat right now. I want you to come and just kneel down in front of this stage. I want you to be ready to receive the release of God over your life. Maybe if people have spoken words over you and told you that you're a failure, I want you to come. I want you to come and kneel down in front of this stage and come and let us pray with you that you could be released from those things. Maybe if you know that you're looking in the wrong place for fame and success, and actually it only comes, you've realized it this morning, it only comes when you ask Jesus into your life. Why don't you come? Dave's going to come and he's going to play for us. We'll move into a song. There's no shame in coming. There's no pride in being first, and there's no excuse for being last. Just leave your seat, come. We're all carrying something. Why don't you come? Let us pray that God would let you be the person he intended you to be. Lord Jesus, let this word live in our hearts, that we might be the people you created us to be for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.